Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. The Texas Tech School of Music Opera Theater presents Gilbert and Sullivan's operetta, The Mikado, this week in the Allen Theater on the TTU campus. To find out the specifics about the production, I caught up with Gerald Dolter in the music school. We're in the studio this morning of Gerald Dolter, who is professor of voice at the Texas Tech University School of Music. He's also the co-chair of the voice area. He is a director of Texas Tech Music Theater. He is the founder and director of Lubbock Moonlight Musicals. Is there anything else that you don't do, Gerald?
Well, I kind of gave up. I gave up professional baritoning a while ago, but I can still do it. It was fun to be with the choirs and sing in Eliza. I can't remember the name of the hall in Lincoln Center. Sang in Lincoln Center, the Brahms Requiem last.
Alice Tully.
First time I'd ever sung there. It was great. But of course, be with all of the students around here. Yeah. It was a moving experience. Anyway, yeah, it's nice to see you in my office here today, absolutely. Clint.
I'm glad I could catch you here. You're obviously a man about town with all of your responsibilities.
Oh boy, there's a lot that's going on right now. I mean, the Mikado is just really, really a special production for me. And that's what we're doing for Texas Tech. But Moonlight Broadway is doing its production of Miracle on 34th Street. And many of the people that have been my students are now leading that production, which is, it's very fulfilling for me to feel that. And it's in great hands. And
sure.
So they're coming close with their production date as well. November the 16th, that show opens. We open Mikado on November the 3rd, which is just in a couple of days here.
Well, let's talk about that. And I'll come back and visit with you about Miracle on 34th Street as we get closer to that. This week is Gilbert Sullivan's The Mikado, which is one of their great pieces, most famous pieces. How did The Mikado come up as a piece to do this semester?
Well, as you know, we choose works here with TTU Opera Theater that are available, suitable for the voices that we have in the school. Voice has to be the primary concern here. I mean, it's the voice area. We're teaching people primarily how to sing. Where I come in with that is I direct musical theater and I direct opera theater. And there are the three main artistic elements of those productions are singing, acting, and movement or dance. And actually, in Musiktheater, the German definition, each of those areas is equally important. They all need to communicate. But every work has its own strengths, weaknesses, idiosyncrasies, what is required to communicate the story and what the composer had in mind. With the Mikado, they are primarily singers. If you don't have singers, you really shouldn't do the Mikado. You can try. Maybe you could do a rock and roll version of it. Maybe you could do a country western version of it. But they had certain voices in mind, and we had the voices here to do Mikado. Now, there were probably four other GNS that we could have done with the voices that we have. But I chose the Mikado because it hasn't been done here. I don't know that it's ever been done here. I'm not sure. I didn't look into it that closely, but it certainly hasn't been done in my memory. And I've directed it with Cedar Rapids Opera with their young artist program probably 10 years ago. And we had costumes built for that production. And I remembered that. It was a different way of approaching the show because that was very basic scenery and it was outdoors, the Cedar Rapids Opera production. This one, I had always wondered what it would be like if we would have those characters inside. And I can do a lot more with the work when it's inside. So that's what we had. And working with this again, our costumes are authentic. They're authentic Japanese kimonos. The geishas look, we had our first dress rehearsal last night. They look absolutely ravishing. And folks, they're completely covered. These ladies are completely covered, but they look absolutely so gorgeous and sexy. And when they sing, they're angelic. And so it's, I understand now what Arthur Sullivan was hearing in his mind when he composed all the notes. And then W.S. Gilbert and his lyrics, that we should probably spend just a little bit of time talking about that, because if you're not careful, if your ear isn't listening, and mind you, the actors deliver everything to this. They're creating their own characters, but they really deliver the lyrics. Those lyrics are so rich, and it leaves you at times wondering, what in the world did he just say? And then it takes about a second or two, and then it all makes sense. And he's thinking, oh, he's referring to this person, or he's referring to this convention, or he's referring to this political thought of the day. There is some of what Gilbert and Sullivan put into the operetta that is reminiscent of England from the early 20th century. It is certainly there, but there's a lot of it that is appropriate today as well. G&S always poke fun at politicians, you know?
Oh, in all their shows. Yeah, sure. Right.
It's there. The characters, you know, we're kind of, it's set in a fictional town in Japan, Titipu. It's not a city. It's a village. It's a town. And the Mikado, who is the ruler, the emperor of Japan, he says if they can't get their act together with an execution, and then we're poking fun at an execution here. Right. And because the Lord High Executioner, his name is Koko, K-O-K-O, if he doesn't execute someone forthwith, he is going to reduce the ranking of the town of Titipu to a village, and the Lord High Executioner will have to execute himself. So he's faced with the concept of, how do I execute myself? And he says, I haven't executed anything. I haven't done anything. I'm working my way up. I'm going to start with a hamster maybe and work my way up, and it's going to take time. And then he says, I think I'll stop with an opera conductor. And that's another thing, is that there is a lot of, you know, we talk about the fourth wall in theater. G&S breaks the fourth wall all the time. There is always commentary that they have with the audience and with the conductor. And the conductor is Daniel Kleinknecht. He is not on the staff, the faculty at Texas Tech University. He is a professor at Mount Mercy University in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And he is the founder and executive director, artistic director of Cedar Rapids Opera. So Daniel and I go back a long way. We go back to the late 1990s. I helped him, assist him to get his young artist program started up there before I started Moonlight Musicals here. And the opportunity arose to bring Daniel back to conduct the work. He knows it very well. And the thing is, he's used to working on very, very compact, I would say, rehearsal space. He usually doesn't have much time in front of the orchestra. He doesn't have much time to work the singers usually like he likes to. With this, he's been afforded a lot more time, although he's only been here for 2 weeks. But he doesn't have teaching duties. He just has artistic duties with the production. And it's turned out just great. We've had a couple of orchestra rehearsals so far, and it's lived up to everything that and more. There are a couple of... Do you mind if I keep on talking like this? Is it okay? There are a couple of performances that I need to warn you about, because they are going to be making it professionally. I don't know I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you the circumstances, but I know what I see, what I hear, and what I sense. Joshua Reynolds is a junior in music education. Actually, he's a first semester senior, but he's going to be here one more year. He's still an undergraduate. He is turning in a performance that is reminiscent of David Gashin right now. He's out of that mold. He is a really creative mind, a very giving spirit. Vocally, he is astounding. He comes out with about 10,000 different vocal colors in this show. And every time he rehearses the role, it's different. He grows. He tries new things. That's a really good habit to get into if you're a vocal performer. That's the kind of thing that professionals do. So he's showing that sign already. He's not quite ready to, of course, he's not ready to make the jump yet, but you can see it even now. So that's one to watch out for. And he is the star of the show. He is the common element everywhere. The role of Catishaw, who is, there's always a role for the ugly mezzo soprano in Gilbert and Sullivan. You know, you have Ruth in The Pirates of Penzance. In regards to Ruth, one of the characters says, there's the fine remains of a woman there in Ruth. And that's kind of how it is with Catishaw. Catishaw is supposed to marry, she is appointed to marry the heir apparent to the throne of Japan. And of course, it was supposed to be Nanki Poo, who is the tenor lead, but Nanki decided he didn't like Catishaw because she's ugly. And he ran away, and no one has seen him since. And now the word has gotten out. It gets out towards the end of the show that the Lord High Executioner has done up a dummy writ of death. And he has claimed that he executed the Nanki Poo this morning. He didn't, not realizing who he is. And of course, they're lying about it. But they're under the assumption that Nanki Poo has now been put to death, which isn't the case at all. He's still alive. So Catishaw is, I have her dress, her outfits are gorgeous, but she's got spider webs all over her because she's that kind of a character. She's just going to entrap you and she's going to use you. Played by Casey Joyner. Casey was an undergraduate here at Tech about 4 years ago. She went to New York City. She went to Manhattan School of Music in composition. And she won a Lincoln Center Prize for one of her musical theater works. She's incredible. She's come back here to do a master's degree in composition. But her talent is on the stage. And she could be performing that work on any professional stage in the world. It's mature beyond her years. Vocally, it's all there. She totally recreates the part every night. So that's why I say these two characters are separating themselves right now. I haven't yet worked long enough with both of our yum-yums. Yum Yum is double cast. Where, by the way, the performances are Friday night, November the 3rd, 7:30 at Allen Theater, and then Sunday matinee, November the 5th at 2 p.m. after church in the morning is done. We are not performing Saturday night because there's a home football game. I've learned through the years, when football happens on this campus, you don't do anything. You just go to the football game, which is fine. It's part of life. So those two are the two yum-yums are kind of new. One of them is a junior vocal performance major. Her name is Anna Tesh, and she substituted this summer. She did Millie in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers for me this summer in the amphitheater. Tremendous talent, very young, tremendous talent. One of our new doctoral students, her name is Shayna Taylor from University of Alabama, but she's a Red Raider now. She's working on her doctorate. She's our other yum-yum. And then our Nanki Poo is being performed by Andrew Campbell, who is a brand new master's degree student in vocal performance. These folks are also turning in stellar performances. Vocally speaking, this performance is way, way, way high up on one of the best things that I've ever produced here. The orchestra is absolutely fantastic. There, we have a 30-piece orchestra in the pit of Allen Theater. It's just such a fun, fun show. I've always wanted to produce the Mikado here. Visually, it's stunning. The sets by Tim Walsh and the lighting by Tim Walsh, it's some of the best work he's ever done. But I don't want to give it all away. You really need to come and see it and just really bask in the performances of these people. And I would recommend that when you come to see the show, try to sit close. If you can, try to sit close, because when the actors break the fourth wall, they will converse with people in the audience. They will be delivering lines to people in the audience. And I told the Mikado, for instance, he's being played by a senior vocal performance major. His name is Malik Henderson. And he's playing him. I told him, I want you to play him like Martha Stewart. You know, when Martha Stewart walks in the room, I've been there. I met Martha Stewart, and she has no problem. She's kind of a private person, but when she's in a room with you, she feels no problem with just walking up to you and shaking your hand and wanting to get to know you, and she's classy. When he comes out, he has to have that attitude, and when you look out at the audience, you have to see people that you know and wave to them and say, and just say under your breath, hello, very nice to see you. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for being here. I see you've all arrived at my party. And he plays that. to the hilt. You're going to enjoy it. And people always want to know, can I bring my kids? Yes, bring your kids to this. That it's, if they haven't seen a Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, they need to see this. There's lots of spoken dialogue. It is in English. Maybe there needs to be a little bit of a translation for the younger ones. But all of the joking around is really, really funny.
Well, speaking of bringing your family and coming, how can people get tickets?
Yeah, get tickets through the School of Music website or just come to the door. We're not going to have any problem with people coming to the door. The ticket prices are $15 and they're $12, I think, for senior citizens and $10 for students. But if you're a Texas Tech student, you get in for free. Just show your ID. You can get in for free.
Great. Excellent. Gerald Dolter, thank you for your time during production week.
Thank you, Clint. It's great to see you.
Texas Tech's production of The Mikado is this Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. in the Allen Theater, with an additional performance on Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Ticket information is at music.ttu.edu. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. This episode of our program will be up on our website, kttz.org, later today. Thanks for listening. I'm Clint Barrick.